Are you ready? Shall we start? Yeah. So today the exercise is about BRO, intrusion detection system, and you can find materials online in Blackboard inside exercise 2.3.1 BRO. And there are several files, and everything is written in the instruction. This one you can download and follow the instruction, and we will do it in this lab. So this is the file. So you can download BRO from www.bro.org. If you go there, and then in exercise this file, you have to install BRO. The instructions are on the same web page under documentation, this menu. If you go there, then you have to click on installation link and then go to installing BRO. So you have to install all the dependencies required for the BRO. These are dependencies, and if you are installing BRO from the source, then you have to install additional dependencies like here. So actually there are two types of two ways to install BRO. One is by using pre-built binary release packages. Here you don't need to compile it, you just need to install. And another is from the source. This one, if you use it, then you need to compile and install and compile BRO, which is a little bit difficult. And I got this information from Slobodan, and BRO only works in Fedora 24, not in the newer version. It's Fedora 26, and it's because of worm called Heartbleed. It was somewhere in 2014, or I don't exactly remember, but BRO doesn't work in any Linux version with TLS SSL more than 1.0. So yeah, to remove the vulnerability of Heartbleed, new version has been come, TLS 1.1, but BRO doesn't work in this version. So if you want to use BRO from the source, then you have to use older version of Fedora, which is Fedora 2.4. That's why today we are performing all the experiment in Kali Linux. So we are not using BRO from the source. We are just using pre-built binaries. So I will show. And for this exercise, we need two machines. One is web server and one is client. So we will install web server in a victim machine, and client machine will be our attacker machine. And both the systems have Kali Linux in for our experiment. So if you go here, I have this victim machine with Kali Linux operating system and attacker machine with Kali Linux same. And this attacker will be our client. So this victim machine is already on. So the next task is to download the web page index.html. You can find it in Blackboard. Download this HTML, index.html from the Blackboard, and put it inside var www.html. Before this, you need to install BRO. So in Kali Linux, it's very simple. If you have already installed all the dependent dependencies, then you just need to do apt you need to update it first with apt. Sorry, it's my language. Apt get update. You first do this, and then use apt dash get install bro. So you can try to do this now. Any success? Is anybody able to install Bro? Yeah, so you can see in my computer that I already have the newest version. It's 2.5.1. So hopefully it's the same for you also. So now the next task is to download index.html and then copy it to this location /var/www/html. Kali Linux already has Apache server, so that's why you don't need to install it. Just try to copy this file into this location. So if I have already done in my computer, so if I go to /var/html and list, then you can see this file. Is it okay if I wait for you in after every step, or you want me to? What do you want?
I'll probably do it at home.
So. Okay, so can I just? Okay, so I have already copied this index.html in this location. So if you open this file. Leaf pad. So this is a simple HTML file with this text, some text, modified date. So this is a simple HTML file. So the next step here is we need to start Apache server after this. In Fedora, it's this is the command that you have to use in Fedora, but since we are using Kali Linux, it's different. The code is we write service Apache 2 start. So this command will spelling mistake. Yes. So after this command, if you open your browser and type localhost /index.html, then you will be able to see this index.html file. This looks like this. Okay. So. Uh, And next task is to, if you go to point number 5, we need to download local.bro from Blackboard and then copy it to this directory, user local bro. So this is the directory from Fedora, but it will be different in our case. So first, we need to find the location of our directory bro. For that, we will type find name directory bro. Okay. So there are different directories. It's coming more. Okay. If you see the instruction, just close it. If you see the instruction, this folder contains share bro site. So this directory should be this one in our case. Okay, so we go to, I have already copied this local.bro in this directory. We'll see this. CD user share bro under site. So you can see here, local.bro. So you have to copy that this file into this location in Kali Linux. Okay, now let's see what it contains. So this is, if you remember, Snort, it has a configuration file. It's the same. It's a configuration file for bro, and you need to add this code in this file actually. So this is the code that defines your local network. Okay. And then again, you have you are provided with several examples. Example 1, 2, 3, 4. You need to download them. I have already done in my case. So the next step is to get the IP address of the client machine and then edit policy1.bro. It's inside example 1 folder. And then we have to add our suspicious scanner client's IP address in this policy. So it's a rule in bro. So this is our client machine attacker. We will first check its IP address and put that IP address in the policy file as a suspicious IP address. And the first example, we will do port scanning. We will try to detect port scanning from a remote machine. In second example, we will perform some HTTP request on web server and detect that request from the suspicious client. In third example, we do the same, but with allowed clients, not the suspicious clients, but the allowed clients. And in fourth example, we use signature, same as in Snort. So it is also possible in Bro to use signatures. If you don't understand, then please interrupt me anytime. So it's IP address. You can see it's 10.0.2.15 here. And the address of IP address of our victim machine is 10.0.2.25, 15 for the client and 25 for the victim machine. Okay. Now we go to first example, and we change the policy file. See, it's in. I have downloaded everything in my desktop, so I will go to desktop first, desktop, and then bro examples. So here are my files, example 1, 2, 3, 4. So first, in first example, we go to example one directory and list the files under this within this directory. There is only one file called policy1.bro. So this is a rule file that helps to detect port scanning from remote from some suspicious remote computers. So if when we open this leafpad policy, so its way of writing rules is very different from Snort, if you remember. So here we need to define suspicious scanners or IP addresses, suspicious clients. So since our client is 10.0.2.15, we need to change it to 15. We change it, and then this is the code. In port scanning, in case of Bro, it generates notice.log by default. And in order to generate alarm, we need to hook this notice with alarm, like with the help of this code. Okay. And if we don't add this notice, then Bro will give you just notice, not alarm. It gives the same information, but you know the difference between notice and alarm, right? So notice, it's just a simple notice, and alarm will trigger some, maybe it can send email to the administrator or something like that. I haven't done it, but it should be like this. Should give alarm to if everything is set properly. So we will see if we don't add this one. So we have this suspicious client 2.15 here. All is good. And point number, get the IP address of the web server. It is 10.0.2.25 in our case. And then we have to run Bro. Okay. So note that this address will be different in our case. Okay. So it's bin Bro. So if you go here. So this will be our directory address to execute Bro. So we type this user bin Bro, and then we follow the command. It's for the Ethernet. It's I think it's Ethernet 0 for everyone. If you have Kali Linux. Listens to any connection to Ethernet 0, and then this local. This local command will save all the log files locally in this example one directory. So this is the meaning of local to use in this command. Local, and then we execute policy.bro. Okay, so Bro is listening. And then we need to run nmap tool from the client targeting to the web server and observe what happens. So we go to attacker. Instead of nmap, we will use genmap, which is a GUI for nmap. Actually, it's the same. So we do port scanning 10.0.2.25. And we do quick scan. Mm-hmm. What happened? Oh, it's 15.25, sorry. So you can see that our victim machine has 80 port number open, so we don't need to disable firewall. And let's see, in victim machine, we press Control C to close Bro. So here you can see different log files. So important files are notice underscore alarm.log and notice.log. In case of port scanning, notice.log is generated automatically by default. You don't need to do anything. But in order to generate notice.alarm, this file, you need to hook a notice with alarm. So let's go into it. So this is the message that Bro grips after detecting port scanning. So port scan from this client, 10.2. This one scanned at least 15 unique ports of host. This is the victim machine host, and in this time, so this is the alert generated for the port scanning. What happens? Let's first remove all the files, all the log files. What happens if we provide another IP address instead of our client IP address? In this case, it should not generate noticed alarm. Because here, if you see the rule, it's like it scans for the port scanning, and the IP address should be from the suspicious scanner. So our client client's IP address is not listed here. It should not generate notice underscore alarm file, right? So we will see. Yes?
Is it possible to put a range of address?
Yeah, it should be possible, like here. It's with comma separated. I haven't tried, but yeah, it should be possible. It should not be only for one machine. It's not logical.
Can you set a wildcard?
I haven't done it, so you can play it around. It should be possible, because it should not be just focused on only one computer. It's a big intrusion detection system. It should be possible, and I guess it should be comma separated. You can find this information yourself.
Based on the possible IP combinations there, and
yeah, it's like a blacklist. It could be like a blacklist in Snort, blacklisted IP addresses, if you know. So if you want to avoid traffic from particular IP address, then you use it here.
But I was simply blocking if I don't want traffic. Why should I then?
Yes, so
raise alarms?
Yes, yeah, you can do it from firewall as well. Like you said, but this is also one of the way. Okay. So any other questions? If you don't want to generate alarm, then you just disable. You can also remove this line. Add $N actions. Action alarm. So it is also possible through Bro, not by using firewall, for example. So you have you can play with it and see all the possibilities. So this is just one simple example. So if we send traffic from if we list another IP address in this scanner, a suspicious scanner, then we need to first start it. Run Bro. And then perform scan again. We are performing a scan from 25, from 15. So in this case, it should not generate alarm. You can see it has generated notice, but not notice underscore alarm. So this is one example. So there are other log files. For example, we can go to con.log. It will show all the connection attempts to this particular machine. Let's see. So we have only 15. So you can go through all the log files if you want, but for us the most important part is notice and notice underscore alarm for this lab. So exercise one is done. So we move further. Where were you? Yeah, 11. Yeah. Okay. So we need to download example two. The same process. We have client IP address and get IP address web server. We need to modify the policy and run, and then try to access that HTML file from the client and see what happens. So now we go to example two. It has this policy, 1.bro. We open it. So in this example, we have the same suspicious clients. We can change this to 15, since our client's IP address is this one. And then this example, for this HTTP client, we need to define a notice. And notice and alarm, which was default in case of port scanning, if you remember. So in order to define notice, you need to include this first. So this is like declaring variable kind of thing. This will include this notice into the list of notice that is already available in the bro. Okay, and like in programming, function definition, we define notice here, like this, here. If you read commented lines, then you will understand it very easily. So, a notice, and source is from the suspicious client, and we need to hook it again with the alarm, same as before. Okay, so this rule will detect HTTP request from 10.0.2.15, this machine, according to this rule. So now we run bro like this. It's listening. And from the client machine, we will access the HTML file. Not localhost, we have to give the IP address of our victim machine. It's 10.0.2.25 and the name of the file, index.html. So see, you can access it from the client machine. So this should generate alarm in the victim machine. So control C. These are just warning and we can ignore it. So here you can see notice.log and notice underscore alarm.log. So it is due to that rule. And when you open alarm, then it will give the message that was written in your role, HTTP requests from a suspicious client. So So you can verify with the policy file. And when we, let's first remove all the log files. And when we change the IP address now, then it should not generate both notice and notice alarm, which in case of port scanning, notice was generated by default, right? So when we change it to this and access the web page from 15, then it should not generate notice both the files. Let's run the bro. It's listening. Let me just refresh it. So there is no notice and notice alarm file for this case. We go to a third example. Here. If you want me to slow down, then please. Okay. So we need to download example 3, get IP address, it's the same information, run bro, and it's the same for HTTP request. But the difference is, like in second example, we had set suspicious clients, but in this case, we will set allowed clients. So that's the difference. So the purpose of this lab is to show different possibilities of using rules in case of bro. We go to...
So the machines you whitelist won't be monitored?
No, in case of third example, allowed won't be monitored. So we will see with example. So these features were not available in case of Snort. So you can compare it with Snort. Similarity comes with only signatures, which we will deal in our fourth example. And it gives a lot of information than Snort, I guess. So here you can see allowed clients, list of allowed clients, okay. So let's keep it 10 so that we will detect HTTP request from our client, 15. So in this case, it should it's the same. See, we have to include this notice, define notice here, this, and then hook it in with the alarm. So everything is same, but only the difference is only this this one. So it should generate notice and notice alarm. Okay, we run bro. It's listening. Let's refresh it. You can see notice alarm and notice. Okay, so do you have any questions? Let's remove everything and change the IP address. When we set our client address to allowed client, then it should not generate notice and alarm according to this rule. So listening. Refresh. Yeah, see, the notice and load notice alarm are not generated. So this is how it this kind of rule works. We go to fourth example, which starts to point number 23, this one. So we download, get IP address, it's the same thing, but the difference is like it has now two files, sig1.sig, this stores the signature of attack pattern attacks, and we will see that. So let's go to the example 4 folder first. Example 4. This is simple. Let's see. Let's open signature file first. If bad one. This contains the signatures, like same like in Snode. So this is IP port, this is source IP address. So let's define it to 15 to generate alarm. And destination port is 80. And this is the message, TCP traffic from a suspicious host to port 80. Okay, so this is the signature. And this signature file should be linked with policy file because Bro actually executes a policy file, so this file should be linked in that file. So let's see. Let's open leafpad policy here. You can see here this sig1.sig file has been linked in policy file. So if you don't provide this file here, a file path here, then you need to provide extra information in command, like to include this signature. So we, in our case, we already have linked this signature file here, and we just need to hook it. We need to hook notice with alarm, like here. It's the same as before. The difference is just we need to link a signature file with policy file, and in signature file you can define signatures. It's listening. Notice alarm, notice log. When we open notice alarm, leafpad, you can see the information. Like this. This is the same message that was available in the signature file, port 80. If you remember, this is the client address. You can easily understand it. It's not that difficult. Just the same. And if we just change that IP address, then it will not generate notice and notice alarm. That's the logic. So it's how do you find this Bro compared to Snode? Do you like Snode or better or Bro? It
seems to be like similar.
For me, I find like we can do a little bit more in case of Bro than Snode, because this, similarity with what?
It's just we haven't seen, I think, the full depth of Bro or Snode, so it's hard to tell. For us, it's just editing some config files.
Mm. The case is like in case of Snort, you can also define a blacklist, whitelist, which we were doing with allowed clients, suspicious clients. From okay, yeah, and it also gives a lot of log files, not only alarm but also different files, like if you see con.log, reporter, weird log, so draw. So there are different log files, and in case of Snort, it will it generates only one file, one alert file. If you remember, yes.
Yeah, but if it can only run on TS1.0, then you can't.
Yes, yes. But that's for only using from a source. But that the difference is like if you compile, if you use from source, then it might be a little bit faster, and it will be just for your platform. It's specific to your platform. So in real case, it's better to use from source than from pre-compiled packages. Yeah, but maybe they will come with updates soon. But that's the that's current problem. It's true.
And have you tried Suricata?
Suricata? No, that's for next exercise.
Okay.
Yes.
And, okay. So I will ask questions.
Yeah. So I get tasks from Slobodan and then do myself and then explain.
And except the problem with TLS,
mm-hmm.
Why should we use Bro instead of Snort? Mm-hmm. Is there some case when one is better than another?
Yes, there has been a lot of comparison. Signature-based, people say that it's like Bro is anomaly-based, and you can define whitelist in case of Bro. But people also say that Bro is slower than Snort. Yeah. And most widely used one is Snort because it's very old than Bro.
So there is no like specific case where an IDS is better than another. Is it just about?
Yeah, in case of Snort, you have to know the attack pattern in advance.
Okay.
Right, but in case of Bro, it's anomaly detection. So it you can define lot of possibilities, and just not only signature, which we have seen that this is only one part of Bro, the fourth example, signature.
Then you need to know what is normal.
No? Yes, in case of Bro. So this is all for the exercise, but if you want to try now, then you can try. If you get any problem, then I can help you. I have also uploaded one video. If you see, if it's my first time, and if it would be nice if you also give me feedback about this video. It's uploaded in Blackboard, so everything is there. I thought like we do things, but it's also better to preserve it for the future, because I'm here for only 1 or 2 years, so it can be used in future. If
how can we do feedbacks? Because the main teacher, I don't remember his name.
Slobodan.
Thank you. Just asked for feedback.
He asked for the feedback?
Yeah, I think we have to do this.
At the end of course, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was already. I mean, we have to already done the feedback.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. because if I remember, we do it because I also did master's here, and we had to fill off feedback form. Was it online or something like this at the end of course? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can also send me feedback personally. So I also want to improve this thing.
There's an evaluation or something like this, Robotan said. So he said one of us should collect all the feedback of all the other students and then send him this feedback.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know about this.
It's just
yeah, but I don't mind. I get feedback.
Mikhail, he said that he will, if we don't find one leader who will collect all this, what we don't. He will assign someone of us, and then we just send the student our feedback, and he will then send it to Slobodan.
Okay,
I
so that's
know
fine.
A requirement for each course that there's three people and a teacher, and there should be held at least two meetings during the semester for feedback as well as at the end. But it's not. This rule came with Tianyu, so it's kind of new, so it's not implemented by all the professors yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no infrastructure to help with this feedback? No, they just, yeah.
So some professors, they have these meetings a couple of times during the semester.
Okay.
That's better solved at my university. The professor just tell, we have a special group who's doing this, and the professor tells, yeah, he